Well, we're going to look at an interesting passage tonight, Judges chapter 9. We're going to look at Abimelech and a wicked king and his reign. And this is a good timing after I just got elected to public office, so. But Abimelech was one of the sons of Gideon, and he uses the death of his father as an opportunity to make himself king. Now, unlike his father, who recognized God is the rule over Israel, Abimelech wanted the position for himself. Kind of sounds like Lucifer, doesn't it? He didn't like the fact that God had the position of being God. Lucifer thought he should have that position. Didn't work out too well for him either, did it? We're going to look at the whole chapter, but I'm not going to read the whole chapter tonight, okay? Because I want to let you go home sometime tonight. So we're not going to read the whole thing, but I'm going to start reading in verse 1, and then I'm going to skip some verses as we go. Judges chapter 9, starting at verse 1, "And Abimelech, the son of Jerubbabel, which went to Shechem unto his mother's brethren, and communed with them, and with all the family of the house of his mother's family, saying, Speak, I pray you, in the ears of all the men of Shechem, whether it is better for you either that all the sons of Zerubbabel, which are 70 persons, reign over you, or that one reign over you. Remember also that I am your bone and your flesh. And his mother's brethren spake of him in the ears of all the men of Shechem all these words, and their hearts inclined to follow Abimelech, and they said, He is our brother. And they gave him 70 pieces of silver out of the house of Baal-berith, wherewith Abimelech hired vain and light persons, which followed him, and he went into his father's house at Orpah, and slew his brethren, the sons of Zerubbabel." Zerubbabel, remember, is another name for Gideon. "Being 70 persons upon one stone, notwithstanding, yet Jotham, the youngest son of Zerubbabel, was left, for he hid himself. And all the men of Shechem gathered together, and all the house of Milo, and went and made Abimelech king by the plain of the pillar that was at Shechem. And when they told it to Jotham, he went and stood in the top of the mount of Gerizim, and lifted up his voice and cried, saying unto him, Hearken unto me, ye men of Shechem, that God may hearken unto you. The trees went forth in a time to anoint a king over them, and they said unto the olive tree, reign thou over us. But the olive tree said unto them, Should I leave my fatness wherewith by me they honor God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees? And the trees said unto the fig tree, Come thou and reign over us. But the fig tree said unto them, Should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit, and go to be promoted over the trees? Then said the trees unto the vine, Come thou and reign over us. And the vine said unto them, Should I leave my wine, which cheereth God and man, and go and be promoted over the trees? Then said the trees unto the bramble, Come thou and reign over us. And the bramble said unto the trees, If in truth ye anoint me king over you, then come and put your trust in my shadow. If not, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon. Now therefore, if ye have done truly and sincerely in that ye have made Abimelech king, and if ye have dwelt well with Zerubbabel in his house, and have done unto him according to the deserving of his hands, for my father fought for you and adventured his life far, and delivered you out of the hand of Midian. And ye are risen up against my father's house this day, and have slain his sons 70 persons upon one stone, and have made Abimelech king, the son of his maidservant, king, over the men of Shechem, because he is your brother. If ye then have dwelt truly and sincerely with Zerubbabel and with his house this day, then rejoice ye in Abimelech, and let him also rejoice in you. But if not, let fire come out from Abimelech and devour the men of Shechem in the house of Milo, and let fire come out from the men of Shechem and from the house of Milo and devour Abimelech. And Jotham ran away and fled and went to Beer and dwelt there for fear of Abimelech and his brother. And when Abimelech had reigned 3 years over Israel, then God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem." And we're going to skip down to verse 50. There's obviously this uprising, and Abimelech then responds with anger, which we're going to look at, and then we come down to verse 50. "Then went Abimelech to Thebez, and encamped against Thebez, and took it. But there was a strong tower within the city, and thither fled all the men and women, and all they of the city, and shut it to them, and gat them up in the top of the tower. And Abimelech came into the tower and fought against it, and went hard under the door of the tower to burn it with fire. And certain women cast a piece of millstone upon Abimelech's head, and all to break his skull. And they Then he called hastily unto the young man, his armor bearer, and said unto him, Draw thy sword and slay me, that men say not of me, A woman slew him. And his young man thrust him through, and he died. And when the men of Israel saw that Abimelech was dead, they departed every man unto his own unto his place. Then God rendered the wickedness of Abimelech, which he did unto his father, and slain his 70 brethren. And all the evil of the men which Shechem did, God render under their heads. And upon them came the curse of Jotham, the son of Jerubbabel. I know there's a lot going on in this passage, but I'm going to try to sum it up for you tonight. And basically, the whole idea of this passage is, the point I want to drive home tonight is to be sure your sin will find you out. Let's ask the Lord for his guidance. Father, I pray as we examine this chapter tonight that, again, you'd help us to understand, Lord, that it may seem like we're hiding sin from men, but we're not hiding it from you. So, Lord, I just pray that we'd be open and honest in all our dealings. And, Lord, open and honest before you, and that we get rid of any hidden sin in our lives. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Going back to the beginning of the chapter, we see the rise of Abimelech. The rise of Abimelech. Abimelech wanted what was not rightfully his, because God was to be king in Israel. And his father, Gideon, recognized that. When the men came to him and said, Gideon, reign over us. Gideon said, why would I want to do that? Because that's God's position. Now, Gideon did use his influence the rest of his life, we saw that before, to hold back the sin, because it says immediately after Gideon died, they turned right back to their idolatry and their wickedness. But Abimelech used deceptive means to gain power. Nowhere does the scripture say that the other sons of Gideon were desiring to be king. But what does he tell the men of Shechem? Whether it is better for you either that all the sons of Zerubbabel, which are 70 persons, reign over you, or that one reign over you. And by the way, I'm related to you. Isn't it interesting? This still happens today, that people will build an argument that's not even true. And so, is it better that all his sons reign over you, or is it better just one of us reign over you? As if they're all seeking the position. Now, if these were wise people, they would say, well, it doesn't really matter because you're the only one seeking the position. They're not. So go home, Abimelech. But they didn't. They say, oh, wow. Yeah, we better tell everybody. So they tell the whole city. And then he gets some real good money. They take it out of the temple, the false gods. Give him money. And it says he hired light and vain people. Vain is worthless or empty. In the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon talks many times about vanity of life. Now understand, in the book of Ecclesiastes, what you need to understand to be able to interpret the book of Ecclesiastes correctly is what Solomon is saying is it is vanity looking at life without God. Okay? Life without God is emptiness, is vanity. The best way I think of vanity is soap bubbles. They look beautiful on the outside, but you go to catch it, pop, it's gone, it's nothing. That's vanity. But light has the idea of being reckless. And isn't it interesting, you think of Jeroboam, when he rose against Rehoboam, he went and hired some of the wicked people. When the Jews got the uprising against Jason and arrested Jason, it says they went and got them some of the baser sort. Isn't it interesting that when the wicked want help, they got to go to the other wicked? I mean, obviously, right? The righteous aren't going to help them. Abimelech murders to gain the throne. He killed his own brethren. All but Jotham was killed. But then I love the response of Jotham. This guy must have been a... He didn't mind speaking the truth. It does say he ran away, and it does not because he was running away cowardly. It's because he wasn't a fool. He wasn't going to stand around and wait for himself to get killed, okay? But it took some guts, some courage to be able to stand up and cry this out to the men of Shechem. And he gives a parable. He says, the trees of the forest went to the olive tree and said, reign over us. Now, many think the olive tree may represent his father. Because what was his father's response? Why should I leave what God has called me to do in order to reign over you? But then he also talks about the fig and the vine. And they all essentially give the same response. Why would I leave the blessing that God has given me by doing what I'm supposed to do for him to seek something that is not mine to have? And Christian, we need to remember that. We need to stop looking at others saying, ooh, I wish I could do what they do. Well, listen, if it's not what God has for you, you're going to do a lousy job at it. But you do what God has for you to do, and it will be a blessing to others. Think of the olive oil being used in the service of God. Think of the figs, the sweetness of the figs. And then it mentions also about the vine. And it says the wine of it talks about God and man having joy from it. You say, what does that mean? Okay, there was also the fruit of the vine was used in the worship in the tabernacle of God, not a fermented wine, a fresh wine. Okay, the new wine would be used in the tabernacle of God. So in other words, why would I leave this area of service of God and man where God has placed me to do something God has not called me to do? But then the trees went to the bramble. Now, who's this referring to? That would be Abimelech. Now, we all know bramble's not exactly the yay, big, strong, mighty tree. It produces no fruit that's good, you know, produces nothing. It's worthless, kind of like Abimelech. But the bramble says, oh, sure, I'll be your king. But he had nothing to offer. And so then he gives his curse, and I think Jotham had a good sense of humor and a good sense of sarcasm because he's like, okay, if you guys have done well, Shechem, if you did the right thing, and by the way, my father went to war for you and he fought the Midianites and you killed all his sons. But if you did the right thing, then may all be well between you and Abimelech. But if not, then he pronounces a curse that he says that fire will come out from Abimelech to them and from them to Abimelech. Now, I would imagine after he runs away, Abimelech thinks everything is fine. Why would he think that? Because 3 years passed. And is this not what the world teaches today? If judgment is not immediate, then it's not going to happen. It's like the dumb professor who stood up and said, I'm going to prove there's not a God, because if there's a God, go ahead and strike me dead right now. See, I'm not dead, so there's no God. Because judgment didn't happen immediately, he claims there's no God. He doesn't understand we have a long-suffering God. And God's judgment sometimes is delayed. Just because it didn't happen for 3 years didn't mean the judgment was coming. I told you my personal time I'm reading through Jeremiah. Just because all the false prophets said it wasn't coming didn't mean it wasn't coming. God said the judgment was coming. And just because, hey, it didn't happen today, must not going to happen. But it sure fell, didn't it? Well, this brings us to the revolt of Gaal. In verse 22, it says that he reigned for 3 years. Then 23 says that God put this evil spirit between he and the people. You know, Proverbs tells us, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. God can have your enemies be at peace with you, or God can have your enemies be against you. You look at the men who greatly feared God, and they would stand before kings, and kings would tremble at the prophets of God. Christian, it's time you and I have such faith in God and such trust in God that kings tremble instead of we trembling in the presence of kings. Not because of who we are, but because of who our God is. But Gaal stirred the people against Abimelech. And he gets them ready to revolt. And let's go ahead and read here at verse 25. And the men of Shechem set liars in wait for him at the top of the mountains, and they robbed all that came along by the way of them. And it was told Abimelech, and Gaal, the son of Ebed, came with his brethren and went over to Shechem, and the men of Shechem put their confidence in him. And they went out into the fields and gathered their vineyards and trod the grapes and made merry and went into their house of their God and did eat and drink and cursed Abimelech. And Gaal the son of Ebed said, "Who is Abimelech and who is Shechem that we should serve him? Is he not the son of Zerubbabel and Zebul his officer served the men of Hamor the father of Shechem, for why should we serve him? And would to God this people were under my hand, then would I remove Abimelech." And he said to Abimelech, "Increase thine army and come out." And when Zebul, the ruler of the city, heard the words of Gaal, the son of Ebed, his anger was kindled, and he sent messengers unto Abimelech privately, saying, "Behold, Gaal, the son of Ebed, and his brethren come to Shechem, and behold, they fortify the city against thee." So we have the Gaal stirring the people, setting up this siege against the city, and we have Zebul, the ruler of the city, getting angry. He tells Abimelech, and Abimelech responds in anger. And I'm not trying to just rush through this, but basically what happens is Abimelech doesn't just strike at the troops approaching him, but Abimelech just starts going crazy wild, killing everybody. And it says several times in this passage that he killed men and women. He wasn't just killing soldiers. He was just going off on everybody. "Fine, you don't like the way I do it, I'm going to wipe you all out." Nice guy, right? But he killed his own brethren, so I mean, I'm sure he has a good reputation already, right? That's the guy who go on to make king. He killed 70 of his brethren. Let's make him king. Kind of sounds like the United States today. I heard that in Pennsylvania, one of the offices, the mayor of Allentown, I think it was, is under indictment for some, I forget what it was for, but he got reelected. Because, you know, we're just really this up and intelligent in America. We don't even pay attention to whom we're voting, and we keep putting in people who are criminals. Things haven't changed over history, have they? Well, Abimelech has his people on this counterattack. In verse 36, when Gaal saw the people, he said to Zebul, "Behold, there come people down to the top of the mountains." And Zebul said to him, "Thou seest the shadow of the mountains as if they were men." No, you're seeing things. You don't really see men. And he keeps holding them off until it's too late. And anyhow, they all get killed. And we go down to verse 41. And Abimelech dwelt at Aramah, and Zebul thrust out Gaal and his brethren that they should not dwell in Shechem. And it came to pass on the morrow that all the people went out in the field, and they told Abimelech, and he took the people and divided them into three companies and laid wait in the field and looked, and behold, the people were come forth out of the city, and he rose up against them and smote them. And Abimelech and the company that was with him rushed forward and stood in the entering of the gate of the city, and two other companies ran upon all the people that were in the fields and slew them. And Abimelech fought against the city all that day, and he took the city and slew the people that was therein, and beat down the city, and sowed it with salt. And when all the men of the tower Shechem heard that they entered into the hold of the house of their god Berith, it was told Abimelech, and the men of the tower Shechem were gathered together, and Abimelech gat him up to Mount Zalmon, he and all the people that were with him. And Abimelech took an axe in his hand, and cut down a bough from the trees, and took it, and laid it on his shoulder, and said to the people that were with him, "What ye have seen me do, make haste, do ye as I have done." And all the people likewise cut down every man his bow and followed Abimelech and put them to hold and set the hold on fire upon them, so that all the men of the tower of Shechem died, also about 1,000 men and women. And Abimelech went to Thebes and encamped against Thebes and took it, and there was a strong tower within the city, and thither fled all the men and women and all they of the city and shut them in. And of course we see that he tries to attack this tower, and this is where he gets killed. This is what I'm saying. The guy goes on his mad, angry rampage and just starts killing everybody. But God has a way of taking care of the enemy and meeting out justice and vengeance. Christian, you and I need to understand, when we have an enemy, we need to pray for them, we need to be kind to them, and let God take the vengeance on them because God does a whole lot better job of it than I do. You see, he was mortally wounded by a woman. This woman on top of the tower had a millstone or a piece of a millstone, and she sees Abimelech down, and she throws it down on him with the purpose of crushing his skull, is what the wording is there. And so when he is mortally wounded, he's lying there, and again show how prideful a man he is, and his dying request is to his armor bearer, please kill me so it's not said that a woman killed me because that would be embarrassing. You're dying either way. You ever think about that? I don't want people to say I was killed by a woman. That would be embarrassing. Like it's going to matter to you in about 5 minutes anyhow. I'm not trying to make light of it, but sometimes we focus on the dumbest things. We need to make sure our focus is on the eternal. You realize what he didn't realize, what he wasn't thinking about is because he was rebelling against God, had never accepted God's way of salvation, he is on the verge of being cast into hell. That should be more concerned about, I don't want to die at a woman's hand. This guy's a real scoundrel, I'm telling you. Nothing like his father. So he had his armor bearer finish him off. And now I want you to see something very interesting. Remember, he was their king, right? Okay, look now down at verse 55. And when the men of Israel saw Abimelech was dead, they departed every man to his own place. Whew, that's over. Let's go home. You see any remorse, any weeping over him? You know, those that live this type of wicked life, people don't mourn over them. They were so probably glad to get rid of him. Now, it doesn't say they had a party when they get home, but, you know, I would imagine they were not weeping when they got home either. Glad we finally got rid of that clown. Now, the point I want to drive home, and I'm going to do it quickly, verses 56 and 57, thus God rendered the wickedness of Abimelech, which he did unto his father, in slaying his 70 brethren, and all the evil of the men of Shechem did God render unto their heads, and unto them came the curse of Jotham, the son of Zerubbabel. Listen, just because judgment was delayed didn't mean it didn't come. It was 3 years later, but God remembered, and God meted out the justice for what Abimelech had done. He deserved to die a shameful death because his brothers had done no wrong, and he had this uprising against his own brothers and helped kill them off. But remember, God reminded us in Numbers 32:23, be sure your sin will find you out. Sometimes we look around us and we see what appears as though the wicked prospering. Doesn't it seem sometimes? The wicked are the ones, the big houses, the big cars, the boats, and all the nice things of life. But let me tell you something, folks. Without Christ, this is the best they have. But those of us that know Christ, this is the worst we have. It only gets better from here. And sometimes it's easy to focus on the wicked and say, but Lord, it looks like you're blessing them. Understand, if they do not accept Christ, the judgment will come. And we're talking eternal judgment. Their sin will find them out. And it may look like they're having a good time, but I guarantee you talk to any rich person and they're not satisfied. I believe it's J.D. Rockefeller who, when asked, how much more money do you need to be satisfied? He said, just a little more. Really? Because you own everything. Just a little bit more. Because riches cannot buy happiness. Things cannot buy happiness. Toys cannot buy happiness. He who has the most toys wins. I often want to stop those trucks that have that bumper sticker and ask, wins what? And Christian, you and I don't have to seek vengeance. I know people that live their whole life just holding a grudge and seeking vengeance on somebody. But let me tell you, it's a whole lot better to live realizing God has said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. The Lord is the righteous judge. Now, it doesn't mean we have this attitude of the world. You can't judge me as I sin. No, we understand we can call sin sin, despite what the world tells us. What I'm saying is, don't be one that holds a grudge. Don't be one seeking vengeance. Let God deal with them. Abimelech thought he would set himself up as king. And it didn't matter who was killed or hurt in the process, because he was self-serving, he was going to do it his way. And it seemed for 3 years he had gotten away with it. But be sure your sin will find you out. You may be hiding some sin in your life and you may think, I've gotten away with it. I've gotten away with it many times. Let me tell you, God is watching and your sin will find you out. It did for Abimelech. And it will for you. Let's bow forward to prayer.